Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I need you all to hold on for a little bit. We're going to do a lot of jumping around back and forth between times. So we start off going to the far eastern edge of the Roman Empire, back to the first century common era. The nation of Israel is a vassal of Rome at that point, but they can still pretty much keep their own traditions and societal norms. There's a Hebrew man by the name of Joseph, and he's engaged to a young woman named Mary. He has just found out that his intended is pregnant, and he knows for a fact that the child is not his. Now, we know that Mary is a young woman. The Greek word, parthenos, that is used to refer to her in Luke's story of the birth, imply a female who is above the age of bat mitzvah, but not yet wed. Parthenos means literally an unmarried young woman, a virgin, or a maiden. Now, generally, culturally, women in that era got married in their mid-teens and men in their late teens, early 20s. So Mary was probably 14 to 16. Let that sink in a moment, please. 14 to 16. And going by my hypothesis, Joseph was probably somewhere around 19 to 21. Some folks, though, want Mary to remain a perpetual virgin, claiming she never had marital relationships with Joseph. And so in order to support those sections of Scripture that talk about Jesus's brothers and sisters, they say that, well, they're not biological siblings. They're actually step-siblings from Joseph's previous marriage. And they go on to speculate that Joseph was actually an old man and that Mary is his second marriage. But Scripture doesn't support that idea one way or the other. I like to think of Joseph as a younger fellow. Joseph and Mary are betrothed, but not yet married. Betrothed, that means more than engaged, but the deal hasn't been sealed, so to speak. It's probably an arranged marriage, which tends to make us 21st century North Americans, you know, kind of uncomfortable. But the reasoning behind that is that families often know their children better than the kids do themselves. And say that a match made by parents is often much more successful than if left to just hormones. I mean children. Mary and Joseph probably met, liked each other enough to agree to proceed. Arrangements are then made on both sides. She would continue to live with her family, but he would support her financially. They wouldn't cohabitate until they were actually officially married, which also means that any consummating wouldn't have been done until they were married. So imagine Joseph's surprise when he finds out that this young woman to whom he is betrothed is preggers. He knows that the child she is carrying is not his. And a whole lot of trust has just been broken, not to mention societal norms and contracts. So Joseph is absolutely within his rights, according to the law of the day, to bring Mary either to the town center or out to the main gate of the town, depending upon if there was a wall around the town, and declare that they were divorced. She being visibly pregnant and he denying that the child is his is all the proof that was needed. What's more, it's not out of the norm for a woman in that situation to either have been run out of town or stoned to death. We're talking about a girl 14 to 16 years old. This is where we find out that Joseph is an upright kind of a guy, because he does not do any of that. How do we know this? Verse 19, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But what happens? God happens. Just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. an angel of the Lord. Do you know what happens when an angel of the Lord appears to you? Either A, you are in big trouble, or B, God has chosen you special and you're in even bigger trouble. It turns out Joseph has been chosen by God specifically to be the caretaker of Mary and her child who is named Jesus, which means to deliver or savior. But all that still begs the question, what's so important about this pregnancy? And for that, we need to jump back all the way to Isaiah. Now, you might not have caught it unless you're already familiar with these two passages. So let me give you a real quick background here. The Isaiah passage comes to us at a time when when the king of Judah is a guy named Ahaz. And while Ahaz is a really good politician, he's not all that good at all about following the Lord God Almighty. Basically, Ahaz is leading the people, especially those there in the capital city of Jerusalem, leading the people away from the worship of the Lord God. The enemies of Judah, meanwhile, are pounding away at the borders, and the people are afraid that they are going to be conquered again. The Lord God sends Isaiah to give Ahaz the dope slap and to give people hope, to give them a resolution to their problem. And Isaiah steps up to tell Ahaz, God is with them. And to prove the point that the people will be delivered from their enemies, God is going to give them a sign. And that sign is to remind them that God is with the people, a sign that God will not forsake the people. And the sign is there in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Oh, and the Greek word used there in Isaiah 7:14, that's the word parthenos, the same Greek word, the very same Greek word that Luke uses in his description of the story. So now, the child, says Isaiah, will grow up to deliver the people from the enemies of Judah, and the people will be saved. That's the good news that Isaiah brings to the people of his day. The Savior is coming. God just doesn't say when. So now we have to jump back to Matthew and Joseph. Roughly 600 years there between when Isaiah gave this message to the people and when Joseph and Mary are on the scene. The people have been waiting. They've been waiting with this message of hope. They've been waiting for this prophesied child to be born, to come to fruition, and with the birth of this child to this young woman. This child is the fulfillment of a promise made to the people through Isaiah, aided along the way by countless others, all the while with this waiting, all with this anticipation, comes to completion with the birth of this little child in an out-of-the-way place in an unremarkable part of the Roman Empire. All of this waiting for the Savior to lead them, for a Savior to lead us, is now over. With the birth of this child, the wait is now resolved. Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen.